This is the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee meeting of May 16, 2011. And Summer Reese, Chair Pro Teming for this evening, and Fred Klunder is taking secretarial for this evening. Could you call the roll, please, Fred?
Certainly. Wesley, forgive the pronunciation, Bethune?
That's correct, here.
I'm sorry, please?
I'm here. You pronounced it correctly.
Thank you. Carolyn Burton?
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. Fred Blair?
Present.
John Brinkley? Not present. Renee Bryce Laporte? Ms. Bryce Laporte, not present. WPFW. Anthony Fest of KPFK.
I'm here.
Thank you. Fred Klunder here. Robert L. Mark of KPFT.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Summer Reese.
Present.
Manija Saba of WBAI.
Manija, I'm sorry, I should have put in for an excused absence. She's out of the country.
Okay. And you noted that she requested an excused absence?
Yes, she wrote me the other day, and I forgot to put it on the list.
Forgive me, and you are whom, please?
Carolyn Burden. Sorry.
Indeed, okay. Okay, let me see. Nancy Saibara Naritomi of KPFT.
Naritomi, yes. KPFT.
Okay. My apologies. Margie Wilkinson of KPFA.
Hi, it's Margie, and with a hard G, Wilkinson. I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Chair Pro Tem, it's all yours.
I did speak to John Blair earlier, if I may, and he said he would be on the call.
I didn't hear my name.
Is that Brinkley from New York?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us your full name again, please.
John Brinkley, B-R-I-N-K-L-E-Y.
Okay, I did call that name, but I probably wasn't clear. Your recorded is present. Good.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, thank you everyone for being here tonight. Obviously, we have a quorum. Is there any objection to the request to excuse absence? And hearing none, you can mark that.
Recording.
And Fred Klunder from KPFK was kind enough to take our minutes last month as well. I saw the corrections today. Did you also distribute the original minutes? That's the act items, but what we actually discussed at the last meeting.
Madam Chair, may I suggest that it was Carolyn who did us the honor of the minutes last time. I didn't. I did post a request for modification.
I apologize. I thought you had done was it the previous month's minutes? It's possible the meetings are melting together for me at this point.
Okay.
I know you did. One of these meetings. Okay.
This is Carolyn. They're melting together for me, too. I did the March minutes, which I sent out today.
That's what I thought.
I was absent at the last meeting, was I not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought you had done them, Fred, but no matter if it's no objection of the body. I mean, I can recap what I remember what we did last month. We can postpone approval of those minutes until next month, and I'll go ahead and retrieve them and send them out to everyone because I know I did receive them, so... is there any objection to postponing approval of last month's minutes until next month? And I'll make sure everyone receives them a couple days in advance, at least, so you can go over them.
Madam Chair, your proposal is to approve the March minutes?
I did not see those distributed. today. No, I'm saying it sounds like we don't have the minutes to approve this evening. So I guess March and April minutes at the next meeting along with these will be. This isn't a huge committee. I don't anticipate it should take a tremendous amount of time to approve 3 months worth of minutes.
I'd add, Madam Chair, only that I believe we do have the minutes, and they were sent out by Carolyn today or maybe before today.
I apologize.
I certainly received them.
Yes, only the March. Mm-hmm.
March, okay.
I did send those out.
Is there any objection to approving the March minutes?
I sent out, I believe, a request for 3 additions to those minutes. I think they're germane to what we decided at the last meeting.
That's what I read. I apologize, Fred. It's my confusion because I had seen your email at the top of the stash today. All right. Thank you.
I did not see those, Fred, if I may. Which account did you send them to?
Let me see here.
They came in at 5:30.
I believe I did a reply to all. Let's see. Carolyn Wesley, it says comment on draft minutes at 5:30, 18 minutes ago. It's a reply to all.
I see. I'll check my mail. I don't have them yet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't see them, I'm afraid, Fred.
Okay.
But I will look for them.
Well, if I may...
We're not going to do them tonight, that's clear.
Yeah, I would suggest that we postpone approval of both of those months minutes and just go ahead and move forward so that we can get something done. If there are corrections and she didn't see them, I only got them at 5:30. So, and I know that the minutes have gone out again not that much earlier in the day. So is there an objection if we just postpone the approval? And let's get it done so we actually have all the minutes approved at the next meeting.
The only thing I would ask, and maybe we can revisit it, but my recollection was that we agreed and asked you, and you agreed to secure the financials in advance of this meeting. Secondly, we agreed, or I suggested that we focus on management accounting ratios as referenced by the audit report, among others, and also on financial accounting and business best practices. I believe there was also a mention of, discussing those things in the context of the go forward of the chair responsibilities of this committee at this meeting.
Well, that's some of it, but I did cover some other things that we covered in that meeting at the very next meeting, which was to go over the structure of what an audit committee is and what the role of this committee is to the foundation and what we need to facilitate the auditors.
I thought that was referenced at the bottom of Carolyn's minutes where you were... going to be calling our attention to purpose and history and so on, but I could be mistaken.
Well, how would you like to proceed tonight? Because I think if there are changes to the minutes to me are something that need to be kept clear for corporate records, but sometimes help us move forward and sometimes get hung up. I have no problem. I understand the financials are not here tonight, Fred. I understand that as a problem. I apologize for not interfacing better with the other departments to get them to this committee and to get this committee's list on the regular distribution list. The Finance Committee sometimes has difficulty getting those financials in a timely fashion.
I understand, Summer. The only reason I asked for those items to be there is if a member suggests that we should focus on A and B, it's useful to carry that forward so it doesn't need to be said again.
No, I understand that, but I also do want to stay focused on the main work of this committee, which isn't the financials, but is the audit recommendations and the correcting the deficiencies, obtaining an audit firm. Because each committee has a specific focus, and that doesn't mean I don't want you to have a financial.
I don't want to, but just my, a last point, and I promise I'll behave. But I think the suggestion was that those audit ratios. From the audit report, the current ratios can only be determined and monitored on an ongoing basis if the financials are present. So
Fred, may I take some of this for you while we're on the call? Because I have gotten copied on the financials with some of the corrections coming from the Finance Committee, which I believe I could probably forward to Fred Blair, who's going to forward the confidentiality agreement, and that way they could go out to the committee tonight. So it doesn't get help us for discussion this evening so much, but at least everyone will have whatever I have at my disposal.
Well, Lady Chair, I would suggest that we agreed the financials would be provided. That is, the issue of the confidentiality agreement has no bearing upon the release of the financials. And if it does, I believe you're in agreement with me on that. But if it does, I'd like to know why that very much public record cannot be provided to an audit committee at this juncture, and why we need to wait for a signature of a confidentiality agreement that again has been we're 4 weeks later and we're still not doing the business, and confidentiality has no bearing on the release of those documents. But thank you.
May I make something clear? At no point have I said the two have anything to do with each other. You are construing something that I have never said, and I've made that very clear, so I think that's a real mischaracterization. I have in no way indicated that the confidentiality agreement is prerequisite to the financials. I've indicated that in order to provide those financials, I have to rely on the CFO to provide them to the Finance Committee, where I have to get a copy and get it forwarded to all of you who are on a separate committee list. And I'm also the chair of the entire foundation board, so there are a few financial and legal matters that I'm involved with on a semi-regular basis, which I, you know, may or may not be discussing in this particular call. And I dropped the ball on seeing to it that you were on the distribution list for the financials that are not part of this committee's purview of activities. This committee is an audit committee. It's very clearly laid out what our tasks are. Our tasks are to get competing bids from different auditors for the upcoming audit year and to take a look back at what the auditor's recommendations to see to it that the foundation is compliant with the audit. Those are the things for which the confidentiality agreements apply. And I think I've made that clear in every phone call in the last two meetings that there are various things that come up in the course of an audit or in a management letter which contains confidential information for the benefit of the foundation.
Lady Chair, I would wish only that the financials be provided as early as possible, and that's all I don't mean to.
I'm participating in hiding a public document based on getting a confidentiality.
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying let's get them as soon as we can, please.
Thank you. I'll see if I can.
4 weeks is too long to wait for, and I would guess you have access to them given your high office.
Thanks. Well, I'd like to think that really made a difference sometimes, but sometimes I also have to wait for data, okay? But I will, whatever I've got access to, I will certainly forward to the committee, and I will get us on that distribution list if this isn't a problem in the future, okay?
This is Margie. I want to be on the list, please.
Hi, Margie. Of course. Go ahead, please speak.
Thank you. I want to know, you read us the management letter on the phone last time, and I thought we were going to get a copy of it, and I didn't get a copy of it.
I'll obtain that. I'd like to, that was really what the confidentiality agreement applied to.
Okay, no problem.
And if I may be clear, I will send forward the confidentiality agreement that's come from the national office, which in all honesty, has many things that pertain to employment situations, not just like board situations. And on various committees, we've had confidentiality agreements that were crafted to the specific task of a specific committee. I would like to myself personally in the long run see something which is, you know, tailored to board work but applicable to different committees. I think the one that's being sent out, if it appears to be overly broad, confidentiality is not meant you make confidential things which are already public. Confidentiality agreements are intended to protect things which are by their nature confidential to the business of the organization, i.e. legal matters, personnel matters, and trade matters which might harm the foundation, you know, which is frequently more to the corporate world, which is competitive type of issues. So I would say that, you know, even in signing a confidentiality agreement, it can really be only held applicable to those things which are by their nature confidential, not things which are already public records by the nature of the institution we are. We're a foundation. We accept money from the public. Our financials are supposed to be an open book. So a lot of those things, you know, they don't become confidential by signing an agreement to protect the things which are confidential. So I have the confidentiality agreement, which I'm going to go ahead and send to Fred once we get moving here. Fred Blair, he'll be forwarding it to the body. And if you could please be kind enough, you know, print it out somewhere and email it back with a signature to the national office, which is where it'll get kept, be kept. And if you feel it necessary to put some disclaimer that says this does not apply to anything which is already public record in front of your signature, don't let me stop you. That's fine, you know. But that's what it's intended to do, is to protect those confidential matters. And I do have a copy of the management letter, which I will happily also forward to Fred Blair, forward to all of you. But, again, that has to be kept confidential in your role on the audit committee, which means it doesn't just – it's a management letter. It's intended for the improvement of the organization's internal functionality, not to be posted on indie media as, you know, an issue. So I think that, you know, it's something the audit committee has to have in order to do its work, but I am asking everyone to, you know, your highest integrity and honor, it's not, it's just not appropriate to forward things which you come into possession of as a member on a committee, which by its nature is intended to be confidential, and go and do something with it which violates that. You know, your work here requires sometimes that you know things that need to just be discussed within the context of a group. So I will go ahead and forward those two items to Fred Blair. I would like to approve some sort of tentative agenda for this evening so we can move forward on some of the work of the committee, if that would be all right with everyone. If there's no objection, could we go ahead and move that approval of the March and April minutes will be postponed to the next meeting, and at that time, hopefully, these minutes as well will be approved. Is there any objection to that? Okay, thank you. Hearing none.
Okay.
And I would like to propose to the committee that I think as part of our context as an audit committee, we are supposed to retain an auditor each year. Our fiscal year ends on September 30th. We're currently using an auditor we have used in the past as well. We had a different auditor in between. It's considered best practice for any organization to switch up auditors every 2 to 3 years or so to prevent a cozy relationship potentially from developing with your auditor, because you need to keep that arm's length distance. And I think that it's just good practice in any situation involving services, which can cost quite a bit, to go ahead and accept proposals or bids from competing organizations for the same services. So, I mean, I would like to recommend that we discuss perhaps accepting proposals or seeking proposals from perhaps three appropriate type of audit firms, that we have time as the year moves forward, because we need to, you know, make a decision to either retain the same firm or to retain a different one, and have that in place before the end of the fiscal year, and that's part of what we're supposed to do as a committee. So I would like to propose discussion of that issue, and I'd like to hear from the committee as to things people would like to discuss this evening, you know, beyond that.
Lady Chair, Fred Plunder, I'd like to discuss, say, the top three or a relative short list of things the committee wishes to undertake this year, as well as to proceed to, I guess, the election of officers as soon as possible. I'm hearing that that cannot occur tonight, but should that be otherwise, I think we did agree at the last meeting to proceed to that election.
Okay, thank you, Fred. All right, and are there other suggestions for agenda items?
No, but Carolyn here.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, I do agree. I think the search for an auditor is crucial. We're waiting for two other members from KPFA. So perhaps the officers can wait a bit until they get on. I hope that's not too long, but I do think the auditor probably takes precedence.
Thank you, Carolyn.
This is Margie. I'm just curious, who from KPFA are you waiting for? Because I think both Anthony and I are here, and we are two of the members of the committee. Hello?
Yes,
thank you. Go ahead, Carolyn. I mean, I can hear you, Margie.
That's not a full complement from KPFA. There should be four members, right, from each committee, from each station?
Good Lord. Okay.
Can you speak up just a little bit louder?
That would make
20 members on the committee.
I don't think so. We were only told two, and Anthony and I stepped up, so.
I think maybe what she means is we don't have a director from KPFA.
Oh.
So I'll look into these composition issues and try to get this settled. I think you probably have. And I'm sorry, what is Anthony's last name from KPFA?
Fest, F-E-S-T.
Hi, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being here tonight and working on this. I think that perhaps because we're a PNB director short or two from over there, so that may be what Carolyn's referring to. I want to get settled the issue. Can a non-board director be the chair of the committee? Okay, and if there's no issue with that, then, you know, I'm not looking to continue doing this for the rest of the year. I just want us to move forward on some work, and I'll get that issue resolved. And if KPFA sends an additional person along, that would be fantastic. So, the management letter, I think, will bring up topic matter that is appropriately dealt with in executive session where the confidentiality issues would apply. So we'd have to go into executive session to discuss anything there. But I think if we could, if there's no objection, I mean, I think Fred's agenda items as well, figuring out what the three top priorities for the audit committee for the year are, that's excellent. And we can discuss the officer issue again at the end. But is there any objection to moving forward, maybe talking about retaining, getting some bids from audit firms to look at our upcoming year?
Yeah, I think you've got everybody's attention for that one, Summer. It's a good idea. Let's do it, is my suggestion.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Let's have the discussion is what I mean, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. Thank you. So, okay, so if there's no objection, we'll move forward and just, you know, let's get through as much as we can here. I guess what I would like to say is I think, you know, we need to have some criteria. We're a certain size nonprofit. We have, you know, the issue of different units. Many nonprofits are located in multiple localities. And, you know, different sized audit firms charge different amounts and have different capacities. So, but we should look into firms of a sufficient size to handle our size and see what they have to offer us and seek bids. So back for discussion, maybe?
Lady Chair, I wonder if we could add to that a little bit of a review of what has happened in the past. Has it been practice to rotate, get a new auditor every year? Has it not been the practice? I would think that that's important. The auditor, have we been satisfied with the last auditor's work? There are some very attention-getting statements in that audit report, clearly, you know, we don't want to move away from an auditor should we not agree with their conclusions. So can you give us, my request would be, if anyone on the line, not least yourself, Summers, is aware of what the history has been
sure.
with rotation, that's kind of where you your request to us began, the need to do that rotation. What have we done thus far historically?
Sure, thank you. Sure, Fred, thanks. And I don't have the complete history, but I know that we're using the present firm of Ross Wisdom. They're out of New York, and I know that the same firm was used for several years. We used and I don't have the exact number, so I can come back to us with that, but I know, you know, a multiple of years. And in between times, we used another firm, auditors, Tony Pohl, the whole firm is like Hanlon Donovan. I'd have to look at it to get it right. But and here's the thing. I believe we used them for 2 years. They charged quite a bit more. And that was based on a lot of difficulty, I think, in dealing with our audit. And some of this is like, you know, some of this is where does it dove into the confidential stuff again. But I think there are issues, you know, as we all are quite aware in terms of our internal administrative functionality and financial compliance and these various things which have come up in successive audits. And a decision was made to go ahead and retain this auditor that we have used in the past again. And there was some dissent as to how that was done in terms of the CFO selecting the auditor versus the audit committee. And I think it's just it's wise practice. The audit committee is specifically charged with engaging an audit firm that since we have used the same auditor, collectively has been our auditor over a course of many years, and we went back to this auditor after using a different one in between, that we go ahead and at least request bids from some other accounting firms to see what they say they would charge us for what we've had done. And I imagine they probably would want to, you know, look at our audits and our 990s, the tax returns, to get an idea of our volume and size, because those things do affect, you know, how much an audit's going to cost you, and see what we get back, you know, because that's like, and we have enough time to still do that before the end of the year. And there may be other issues with that I would like to discuss in executive session, potentially, in terms of using the same audit firm that we've used in the past, but it's not something I want to go into here. But it would be best practice, even if we hadn't used this same auditor for several years. But particularly, it's just considered that you shouldn't use an auditor for like more than 3 years without using another audit firm. And the fact that we went back to the same one, we didn't move on to a third one. And there were some issues in between, I think, with our you know, that come from us as well. So I think that it would be helpful to have, as it were, more accounting eyes and get some feedback from other people in the profession of what they would charge us for what we're doing to perform these audits. And we'll be executing our fiduciary duties that way. I mean, we will actually be looking at competitive bids to perform something that is, frankly, quite expensive for the foundation when you think about it. You know, I mean, these audits cost anywhere between like $80,000 and $180,000 to perform for our, you know, $10 to $13 million gross per year as a foundation, and they give us a lot of feedback on what's not working or what is working at the local station level. So, that's kind of you know, my rationale and as much of the history as I can find out, like I said, the exact number of years, but I'm not aware of any other auditors in the last 10 years, and I could be off on that number, so maybe it's only 7 or 8, but it's a pretty long stretch, so.
This is Margie. Can I ask a question?
Yes,
Does the cost of the audit have anything to do with the fact that the auditor is in New York and our foundation headquarters are in Berkeley? Is that part of it?
No. Do
they have to... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, do they have to travel? I'm just curious. Let me just say that this is not an idle question. I have been involved in unions for a long time around here, and I'm familiar with a number of very qualified audit firms in the Bay Area, and I was wondering, you know, whether that... Whether the distance had any effect on the cost, that's all.
No, actually, strangely, quite the opposite. The firm which charged us quite a bit more is based in the Bay Area, because really when conducting an audit and depending on your internal organizational structure, regardless of where the firm is located, they could be located in Des Moines, Iowa, they end up having to travel to, sending at least, you know, junior auditors to the 5 units. The radio stations, because a lot of our business records are still retained locally, and I would like to get to a point where those things are automatically electronically scanned and everything is, you know, that where everything could be located at one centralized location, because I think that would significantly reduce our audit costs and contact banks in the specific states and everything. Confirmations, but as it is, they've had to travel no matter where they're based out of, and it was the firm in the Bay Area that charge significantly more than the firm in the New York area, and, you know, there are issues we can discuss again in a closed session. But, yeah, geography didn't end up impacting it because we're spread out all over the country.
So. This is John. I have a question.
Sure.
You mentioned that we have until the end of the year to secure an audit firm. I was wondering, what is the time frame, and how do we issue an RFQ, and how is that posted? How do we actually solicit the auditors' firms?
Sure. Okay, our fiscal year ends on September 30th, and the way audits work for nonprofit organizations is basically your audit commences as soon as your fiscal year ends. Essentially, because you need to file your tax returns 4 months later, and your audit has to come out like, you know, pretty early in the following year. So, with an organization, again, with our distant locations and records all over the country. Like you certainly, you don't want to delay. You want to hit the ground running and get work on the audit so that it's done on time. So that's sort of our time frame. Is, you know, we should consider this over the next, like, you know, 3 months, and you know, by then it's not even 3 months by now. So, you know, barely 2-3 months. You know, look at some proposals and make a recommendation. I would say, you know, late August at the latest. You know. Maybe early September, but, you know, there's different ways of going about this. There are our accountancy, you know, associations. You can look by size of firm, seek some recommendations. I mean, you know, it's not quite like doing, you know, where you're hiring someone to work for the foundation and you're putting out a job posting because we're looking for firms. So, I mean, we could do a request for a quote or proposal by hitting accountancy firms of a certain size, geographic locality. You know, different organizations specialize in serving nonprofits of different sizes as well. So that's part of what to look at is, you know, we're not huge, but we're not tiny. We're, you know, we're in the middle kind of. So we don't need the biggest, you know, firm out there, but we might want something, you know, a little bigger than, you know, a two-person practice. So, I've got some ideas on that. I didn't really put those together for tonight, but it isn't, you know, we wouldn't be placing an ad or anything. I would say hitting some associations and doing some criteria to see that they serve organizations of our size and can serve the fact that we're in different states and things of that nature. And that's part of what you have to let people know when you're looking for a proposal, too. You know, we're going to obviously have some travel time because some of these records they have to go get. And that's part of where, you know, when if we go into executive session and discuss the management letter where deficiencies are highlighted, things that can be improved. Some of those things would help us to improve our audits as well. Do you know, the better things function, the easier it is to get your records out quickly to professionals as well. So I'll take ideas. You know, if there are people on the call that have some ideas as to where to look for auditors, I've hunted down lawyers and accountants and different things. You know, the internet is a tremendous resource at this point for, you know, sorting through criteria, but I'll take any suggestions to proceeding on that in addition to what I think may be appropriate.
Lady Chair, Fred Klunder, question. What is the procedure? What would our procedure be to select an individual? I would take it that that would be meeting of the committee. And so who does the selection? Does the shortlisting? Who does the selection? And how do we ensure veracity and thoroughness and independence? I think of that last audit report, some very, very strong statements and the kinds of things that we need to hear if they are true, as I believe they are from the numbers I've seen. How do we ensure that that same frankness is not lost? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, start by not getting, you know, so-and-so's friend, so-and-so the accountant. I would, you know, I mean, a professional organization, they have what are they, generally accepted accounting procedures, GAAP procedures. That any reputable CPA audit firm that does this work have to adhere to, and if there are no personal relationships, which is, you know, again, one of the reasons, not to say that there are, but this is one of the reasons that one switches up auditors every so often, you know.
So how do we ensure that? And I would suggest that what they said about current ratios, you know, one could phrase that in different ways. One could embed that in a lot of other comments, or one could really call attention to and underline it, which is what they did. So I know we're talking about bias, and we're talking about independence, and we're talking about audit standards, but that's all kind of theoretical. In reality, there are different ways to tell a story. And my concern is that we observe not only the abstract principles of rotation, but that we talk about how we really get a hard-headed audit and make sure that we're not moving away from one report because perhaps we didn't like its conclusion. On the specifics, if you will, how do we make sure we get a hard-headed report and who in this committee will really be making the decision. My suggestion is that it should be the committee of the whole. Those questions, please.
Sure. In terms of a hard-headed report, we've gotten the exact same problems highlighted by both audit firms. I really don't have concerns there. Anyone with integrity will highlight the same problems, quite frankly. So I don't think there's an issue that the last two audit firms haven't been sufficiently candid in their highlighting of internal procedures or other things that they thought that were problematic. So, it may be very well you go back to the same auditor if there's no, you know, reason not to, but it's due diligence to take a look at more than one quote. I last month I read the whole thing from various articles basically on what an audit committee does. There are similar things on selecting a new audit firm and how to do so and professional criteria to take a look at. And I'm not proposing that I sit here and read these on the stream, but if you would like, the committee would find it helpful, I'll go ahead and send these forward I'm going to send them to Fred because I don't have everybody represented in a group, so I'm not able to just send it easily to the whole group, I don't think.
Can you not send it to the group to which the minutes were distributed earlier today by Carolyn?
Let me see, because I'm doing this on an iPhone. It just isn't that easy.
The more intermediaries that we have, the more it gets slowed down. I mean, I don't know why we don't send it immediately, please.
I'm talking a practical implication here. It'll be faster for me to send it to one person who's sitting at a regular computer who can send it to the group. That's all.
Summer, since I'm here and I have the list, why don't you send it to me and I'll send it right out, whatever you want. How many documents are you sending so I know if I lose one?
Well, right now I'm just going to send a link which goes to a nice little thing that talks exactly. Again, a lot of these things, you know, you have to realize are written by really large accountancy firms that, like, again, industry standards, some of them probably significantly larger than what we need to deal with, but they give you good information on what standard business practices, you know, the smooth transition to a new audit firm, okay? And it talks about things to look at. And I'll find you some other articles to read. Some of these things, obviously, I think the entire committee, once we get some proposals, should take a look at them. I mean, we can get more than three proposals. My problem around Pacifica sometimes is that we don't actually seek a broad enough range of, applications for things. And so I'd like to see that we at least look at more than one firm's suggested proposal on what they would do for us and what they would charge. Pacifica has very particular issues and stuff, and that, you know, sometimes it's easier to work with the same audit firm because they know who you are and they know what your glitches are, but one also has to be cautious with that. So, that's why there are those recommendations. So right now I'm going to send you a link to an article, and then I'll go ahead and send the other things to you. So I'll let you know. Let's see. Anybody else have comments, questions, thoughts on?
Yeah, Summer, Fred again. How do you, historically have we proceeded? Is this work of the group of the whole or otherwise?
I have no idea how we've historically proceeded. I know the audit committee was unhappy last year in not having made a recommendation about the selection of the auditor, and I want to see to it that we don't inadvertently that mistakes of the past are not repeated this year. And when I see that the same audit firm has worked for us for many years, and again, it's not a criticism of the audit firm or even of the foundation. It's just sometimes what happens.
Now, my question is about who will make the decision, and I'm hearing you say that it will probably be the committee of the whole, that's satisfactory. I understand the other points.
Yeah, I'm not planning to make unilateral decisions here. If I were, I'd just go out and start soliciting bids from audit firms. That wouldn't, you know, that would be easy for me, but I would like us as a group to really consider this, to take a look at it.
Well, there was no suggestion. It was a matter of process.
Yeah. No, of course. Yeah, no, I think, that, you know, the issue of how to select, you know what I mean, how to ask which firms to give us bids, that is an issue that needs some decision-making, and I don't have an easy answer that says this is exactly how we'll proceed. You know, I'll send some stuff to everyone, but, you know, there's some process by which we can select firms of an appropriate size for our size and say, you know, and request them to give us proposals. Then, of course, I would expect the whole group to review whatever comes back to us and make a recommendation to the PNB based on that, you know, either retain the same firm or we like these three firms but we haven't made a decision, or this firm looks really good, and, you know, whatever, you know, but that's the recommendation process. Do we actually look at it and see what we get back? Because I think that would be part of what we're supposed to do.
Are you sending something to me?
Carolyn, go ahead.
Sending it to the group?
No, go ahead.
Are you sending something to me or to the group?
I'm attempting to send it to you, yes.
All right, just wondering.
There we go. So, I don't know, does anyone else?
Here's Nancy for Frexit. Can I say something?
Please, by all means. Is that Robert Mark?
Yes.
Thank
I'd just
ahead.
Like to point out that by its definition, the audit committee is a committee of the whole. And using that terminology is a little confusing. The PNB can become a committee of the whole, but we as a subcommittee are a committee of the whole. And I think that's very confusing for some of the members.
Thank you.
I also would like to ask the question, then, do we then make a recommendation to the PNB as a committee, or do we engage the auditor?
You raise a very valid point, Robert, and I think actually if I refer back to what I was reading to everybody last month, it says the audit committee selects an auditor. So, you know, I'm thinking like all committees make recommendations to the PNB for their vote, but I'll have to refer back to that, but I think you actually might be right in terms of the audit committee selects an auditor. So I'll double check on that, okay?
I think we need to clarify that, you know, before we tell an auditor they're engaged, but obviously that's far down the road.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't presume to step forward and do that unless it was, thoroughly vetted as the right thing to be doing. But that doesn't in any way stop us from beginning the search process because these things take a while, you know, and I'm thinking if we could make a decision now that we want to do this, then maybe we could move it forward so by next month something's happening on it, you know. So audit committee role. Did you have anything else, Robert, that you wanted to say right now?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Nancy on the stack, please.
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Yes, it seems like we'll be picking an auditor and then coming out with probably the same complaints as last time and spending a lot of money. So I want to know what we can actively do as committee members, this audit, to help influence a better audit. I mean, what can we actively do at our own individual stations?
Sure. Well, part of that is, frankly, in terms of the cost of performing an audit, the more organized, complete, centralized, and fast responses to the auditors ask for a series of financial documents and information and confirmations to be able to tell that what's on your books is really what's in your bank account and that that's really what's happening. And the harder it is for them to access that information and the longer it takes for them to do it and the more requests that they have to make, the more they charge you, frankly. And so that is a that's an issue for us in terms of how much audit costs. The internal control issues, which are things I'm working right now to send this so that it gets forwarded to you in a moment, there are issues that are issues for us as an organization that get highlighted in audit. They're not making our audit costs higher, but they're certainly issues which need to be addressed and that the audit committee should look at as well. In terms of reducing audit costs, a lot of that has to do, again, with the efficiency of response and the completeness of information. So if an auditor, you know, only has to ask you for something once and all documents get supplied and they don't have to fly to your station to go find the stuff. Because a lot of this, you know, frankly, if it's very forthcoming and quick, should require minimum on-the-ground contact with the auditor. But if it's not forthcoming and quick and it requires, like, a major records request full, then, you know, that's costing you money, you know. So, I mean, at the local level, the greater the ease with which information can be accessed obviously would help. But there are other issues also that need to be addressed at each of the local stations in terms of compliance and things like that.
Okay, can we have a choice then that the audit members of this committee can, that we can start checking at our own stations, like, you know, a checklist, like, you know, well, like the same problems that you were telling us last time from the last audit.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment and cash receipts and not burning pledge cards or this kind of checklist. Can we start initiating the checks on these things? to reduce?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, to reduce costs of audit. So can we decide on doing that to help the efficiency of the audit?
Well,
that would be very...
Can I go on the stack, please?
Sure, Carolyn, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit confusing. One of the things that we did agree on last time was to set up, for instance, that task force that was set up that looks at things at various things at each station. And I think some of these issues we should be talking about in executive session about how to proceed. But my initial response.
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes, my initial response.
Please.
Pardon, can you hear me now?
Well, keep on speaking.
My initial response is that if for everybody to go back to their own stations and start initiating queries and investigations would be very confusing to everyone at the station. So maybe we should look at the list of suggestions, perhaps even in executive session, and decide on how we want to go about examining these things. Part of what we're asking is the job of either an internal auditor or the CFO to tell us and give us information. So collecting that might be a paper question rather than, you know, physically going and asking for the data individually. I just don't want us to get into the to create havoc at the individual stations with business managers complaining about the audit committee's interference. So I think we should proceed a little bit carefully before we decide on how to collect this information.
I think your points are well taken, Carolyn. I mean, we don't want to be the Spanish Inquisition going in anywhere. And I think some of these address, you know, these issues are being, they're being pushed on other committees as well in terms of addressing them. But it would be, I think Nancy raises a good point that, like a pre-audit checklist to make sure that we've got everything together at each station. I mean, if it were done properly and through paperwork, might be helpful rather than onerous, but I think there does need to be coordination with the CFO on that and the, you know, the business managers and everything, so it isn't, so we aren't just marching in there with a list of things. But it might be helpful for the audit committee to perhaps formulate such a list based on auditors' recommendations and what they need to just to help facilitate things, you know, because I'm not aware that there's anything like that. So we might want to look at doing something like that, you know.
Well, we might want to look at these documents that we need to look at and have that discussion in executive session before we create such a list. But I think that's a very good suggestion myself, and I would like to do that. But some of it, as I say, has to be done in executive session looking at some of these files.
I think, though, the checklist is not so much looking at the specific files, but to establish a process and a checklist of what the station would be doing to facilitate and make the audit with the audit firm better quality and perhaps less expensive. So it's like, you pay me now or pay me later.
Who is that speaking? That's very good.
This is John.
John from New York. Okay, hi. Thank you, John Brinkley. Okay, yeah, exactly. That maybe that might be helpful, you know, because the stations are caught up doing Fun Drive and running a radio station and everything, and, you know, it would be nice if all this ran like clockwork, but, it might be helpful to have, like, a checklist. And I'd happily get the auditors to interface with us in terms of, you know, the current auditors as well. What would be, because they provide a checklist, you know, any audit to management of what they need. And, you know, maybe we could work up recommendations with a sort of a timeline of making sure everything's together before the audit starts. And that might be something that could be helpful from the audit committee. So, yeah, sort of, you know, and some of this stuff, obviously a lot of this is being worked through the national office, but I think recommendations can be helpful to sort of streamline the process for people. So do we want to make that some kind of an action item to, and we can discuss it further in executive session, some of the other issues, but this part's not executive session.
Point of information?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I came on the call a little late. Is there an executive session set up for tonight, or do we want to do this at the next meeting?
There isn't really one set up for tonight. We could, you know, any time that a subject matter comes up that's appropriate for executive session, one can break to that. I'd like to kind of settle on the issue of maybe putting forward a motion to actually seek bids from qualified audit firms that, you know, meet professional standards. And then if somebody wanted to move that we go into executive session, I forwarded the confidentiality agreement to you, and I'm going to forward the management letter in a minute as soon as I can. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that if members wanted to do that to discuss for like half an hour or something. I guess maybe I will go ahead and move it then. I would move that the audit committee seek bids from qualified accountancy firms for proposals for performing the upcoming 2011 audit, a minimum of 3 proposals from firms that we have not used in the past in any capacity, and, you know, begin to seek those bids, okay? And then I'll take positive ideas from anybody on, you know, how to go about that, but at least by saying they're qualified firms so that they're the appropriate type. Is there a second to that?
Some discussion, Lady Chair? Yes, I'll second that.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm a little bit concerned about those words, 3 bids. We procure significant... a significant amount I run a large IT group, and we have a budget of about $60 million, and the for IT, that is. The words 3 bids is kind of shorthand for go out and get 3 that work for you and get it done quick, as opposed to open and competitive. So I'm thinking that you know, this undertaking is a significant one, it needs to be very tightly managed, or it can be very easily skewed in a certain direction. That's a concern for me, not because I think it will be skewed, but because I know it can be, and I know how difficult it is for us to this kind of work over the telephone. So I'm not clear that just 3 bids is in any sense adequate.
Well, that's why I use the word minimum, Fred, because you know me, I'm the one of the great big search and advertise everywhere. I'm always happy to entertain more bids, more resumes than virtually anybody else in the room. So, I mean, that's why I said a minimum of 3 to make sure there was a point below it, which...
I understand, Summer, but I guess where I'm going with that is that unless we understand the process, how we are going to arrive at 3 and only 3, it's perhaps sure to be adopting a resolution that we go after a new audit firm. And I say again, perhaps, advisedly. But this is a great big deal. There are going to have to be 1 or 2 people around this virtual table that we trust to go and do that, and that's going to be the reality of the matter. So I'm not necessarily sure that in the absence of dissatisfaction with the existing firm, that we're not better served just sticking with that firm and instead focusing our efforts, which very readily could be consumed in large part by this process of finding a firm, if we are to do it right, concentrate instead on those other 2 elements, the element of actually being a watchdog on the the fiscal viability of the firm as articulated by the audit, looking for programs to dig us out of the hole we're in, that's the ratios piece, and then looking to see whether there are really mission-critical procedural improvements that are required at this juncture. In short, I guess I'm wanting for enthusiasm at this point, and I'm just about done. I'm sorry for the long-windedness, and thinking that, you know, a mere justification based on the best practices of rotation may not be all we need here.
Well, there are other issues, but again, I think we'll have to go into executive session. If you'd like to, I will certainly move that we go ahead and go into executive session before we finish conclusion on this, but... I think we are tasked with selecting an audit firm. It doesn't say just go with last year's firm because it's easier. I'm happy to say we have a minimum of 10 bids. I mean, really, you know, I'd be happy to hear another number if someone wants to throw it out there. I'm realistic that getting firms to take you seriously to go ahead and give you a proposal requires a certain amount of seriousness on your part that you actually want one, and that also committee time is somewhat limited, so saying, you know, let's review 10 audit firms' proposals is probably a bit more daunting than saying let's interview 3 or 4 or even half a dozen. But that's why I said a minimum of 3, because if there were 4 or 5 really great ones, fantastic. But I'd like to see that we at least hear from somebody from another firm that hasn't previously performed our audits. And
Chair, what if we were to start with asking what was wrong with the last year's audit?
Because that's not what the audit committee is tasked with. It doesn't say anything has to be wrong with last year's audit. It says that an audit committee shall select the auditor for that year. I mean, there's no indication in the law that there need ever be anything wrong with your previous auditor for it to still be your task to select an auditor for the year.
I'm saying only that in the absence of something wrong with last year's, how about we just stick with them for another year and actually do some real business?
Well, I welcome you to vote against it, but I'd appreciate a second from somebody that actually thinks we should do this as part of our role, if anyone else agrees with me.
I've already seconded it because I believe that this discussion is worthy, and I believe that second has been accepted.
Pardon me.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Margie on the stack, please.
Carolyn and then Margie.
John.
Yeah, I think Fred's point is almost well taken, except that in our case, we may have actually been skirting on the edge of a law. There is a rule that one may not use a law an accounting firm more than 5 years. It's customary at the end of 5 years for any firm to recommend that they retire, and if they want to recommend other firms, that's fine. But the custom is to switch auditors every 5 years, simply to avoid cronyism and people getting too close to the business end of it, which auditors are not allowed to do. In our case, we had an auditor for quite a few years. I think it may have been more than 5, I'm not sure. But in any event, we then brought in someone else for 2 years and then decided to change, but instead of getting someone else, went back to the one that we had had previously. And I think that, to me, is it may have met the letter of the law, but certainly not the spirit. So that is one reason. And there are other things I think we do need to talk about in executive session about why at this point it might be a good idea to have a switch. But I don't think it's as cut and dried as it sounds, with all due respect to the way it sounds. So I would like to continue this discussion in a closed session.
Are you moving to move the rest of the discussion to closed session before we make a decision?
I would like to table this to a closed session, this discussion. Yes, we can do that another night. But that would be
thanks.
Nice.
Okay,
To Robert Mark's stack, please.
John's for the stack also.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay. No, I have to just deal with the... You're not moving to table, you're moving to postpone... further consideration until executive session, or?
That's the wording. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because when you move something to table, you're putting it on the table. It has to be brought back down at the next meeting, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay. I'll go ahead and finish this stack. If we start to delve into the executive session territory, I would like us to, well, she's moved to postpone further discussion to executive session. Is there, and I'll keep the same stack if we do that, but is there objection to that?
Well, this is Margie. I just have a question because I'm sort of unfamiliar with the process.
Yeah, please,
my
ahead.
Question is, why do we need to have this conversation? What is it about the conversation that requires us to go into executive session?
Well, that's usually the problem, is issues that cause you to need to go into executive session are not issues that you can really elaborate upon in the open session. So it's just there may be certain issues that we do need to discuss in executive session regarding the selection of the auditor. So not the issue as to whether it's a good practice to go ahead and look at other auditors, but if we want to discuss last year's audit. Okay.
All right. So, thank you.
I'll go ahead and just finish.
I have no objection to the executive session under those circumstances.
But John's on the sack, right?
Thank you. Robert, and then John, and then if there's nothing further, we could go to executive session. That would be great. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I agree with the premise that we should solicit as many proposals as we possibly can. But the practical way in which to glean those proposals down to three with which the committee as a whole can address is to create a subcommittee of people that are reviewing the pile of proposals that come in and have them then recommend three to the whole committee for consideration. But I also would like to say that I disagree with the premise that this is unimportant work of the committee and that there's other work to be done. I haven't heard anything mentioned that's within the purview of this committee. I've heard some good ideas that ought to be addressed by the Finance Committee and perhaps this joint task force that was created to figure out a way to enhance our financial position. But looking every month to see what the ratios are of our income and expenses are is the purview of the Finance Committee, not the Audit Committee.